Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Happy Thursday. Hope you've been having a good week. It's been a good week, huh? Yeah? Had a great weekend last weekend in Brea, California. Shout out to everyone that came to the shows. Man, some amazing ALN pod guests. Fans that came to the shows. Holy shit. Fan of the week. Got a new fan of the week. Haven't done it in a while, but a fan of the week from my shows in Brea. I can't remember their names, but I took a picture with them, and dude messaged me on Instagram. Ron Sakiria? Is that right? Ron Sakiria, you are this week's fan of the week. Yeah, baby. Big pod fans, him and his girl that came to the show. Super sweet. Yeah, man. Email aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your address, and we'll send you some merch. Thanks for listening to the pod, man. Thank you all for listening to the pod, and hope it's been bringing you guys joy in 2017. The best ofs, part one and two, were a lot of fun. If you haven't, go back and listen to those. So many great conversations. And 2017 is booking up nicely, man. Coming up, we've got Lachlan Patterson, Carol Leifer, who wrote for Seinfeld and Mad TV. Kyle Newacek, the director of Workaholics, which is just premiered last night. It's last final season. So sad. But Kyle Newacek, of course, plays Carl in Workaholics. He'll be coming up. As well as Adam Egit, the booker of the Comedy Store, which will be really exciting. Joe DeRosa. Fuck, man. Got a lot of big heavy hitters coming up. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends to check the pod out. Subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. Today's episode, another great get. Brad met this dude through Kevin and Bean. You know him from the NFL Network, from DirecTV. He's a sports junkie. He's a staple of the NFL coverage that is happening all the time. He hosts a Red Zone channel every Sunday, which is, if you haven't seen it, it's basically when you get to basically watch the Red Zone and see they jump from game to game all over and basically cover any time a team's about to score or something exciting is happening. It's an amazing, insane process that our guest breaks down for us, A, how he got the job, and B, how it even works. It's one of the most fascinating things I've ever listened to. He grew up in Virginia, his early sports broadcasting days, coming to L.A., and he breaks down this weekend's NFL predictions, the playoffs, which include, of course, my Seahawks. I'm talking about the one and only Andrew Siciliano, baby. Of Fox Sports and NFL Network. Great dude. Like I mentioned, we talk a lot of sports. We talk a lot his story. Super funny dude, too. It's always great when you can laugh at yourself and have a good sense of humor and also be a big sports dude. That's all it takes for fellas to bond. This episode was a lot of fun. Enjoy the hell out of it. Go Seahawks. Follow Andrew on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. That spelling, you know, type it in. I think it's Siciliano. Bing! That is correct. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Tonight through Saturday, I'm in Kansas City right now, baby. The Kansas City Improv. First time headlining. Come on. Come out if you are in or around KC. Kansas City, come out and see me, the Kansas City Improv. One show tonight, two tomorrow, two Saturday. It's going to be a blast. Come out. I'm in a good groove right now, man, just headlining every weekend and two, three sets a night in town in L.A. Feeling good, so come out to the shows and party. Brad, this weekend, is at the Levity Live in West Nyack, which is upstate New York. Go see Brad tonight through Saturday, Levity Live in West Nyack, New York. Get your tickets at improv.com. Of course, we have a big show coming up, a big live show, live About Last Night podcast at the Riot LA Comedy Festival, January 22nd, next Sunday at 5 p.m., Brad Williams, Adam Ray, and our guests, Adam Devine and Brent Morin. Holy shit. It's going to be a packed fucking show. Get your tickets at RiotLA.com and come out and see the live ALN podcast. Brad Williams, Adam Ray, Adam Devine, Brent Morin, January 22nd. That's a Sunday at 5 p.m. I also want to mention we have a new sponsor for the podcast, BlueApron.com. Of course, that's a website that has chef-curated recipes using farm-fresh ingredients that are sent straight to your door. We're not starting it until next Monday, but we do talk about it on the podcast, and Andrew Siciliano actually shares some personal stories about it. We plug the website and mention using promo code ALN, which is our promo code, but you can't use it until Monday, all right? So Blue Apron, we love you, and we appreciate you sponsoring the pod, and we're going to give you all the love that we got to give. But when you hear mentioned today and we talk about the promo code, just know that you can't use it until Monday, all right? Another big show, January 24th at 8:30 at the Comedy Store in the main room here in Los Angeles. I'm doing the first of some monthly shows, Adam Ray and Buddies. It's going to be myself, Brad, Brent, Adam Devine, Jessamay Peluso, Chris D'Elia, and some surprise guests. So get your tickets at comedystore.com and come out and see the Adam Ray and Buddies show, January 24th, 8:30, Comedy Store main room. And of course, estoymerchandise.com for all your ALN merch, estoymerchandise.com. Get all your shirts, hats, mugs, posters, and make somebody's day. Spread the word about the pod through the gift of giving. Gifts. Fuck. And of course, go to my website, adamraytv.com, for all my tour dates. And I'm hitting the road February 11th through March 4th with Adam Devine on a big national theater tour. All those tickets are at livenation.com. Come out and see us. BradWilliamsComedy.com for all his tour dates. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Andrew Siciliano.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Blue Apron?
Yeah, Blue Apron, the lovely...
Blue Apron kept my relationship together for a while.
Wow. Andrew Siciliano, tell us more.
Are we recording it?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear yourself?
Man, we're good, man.
Yeah.
Everyone do. I'm looking at open table.
Keys. Yeah.
Tell me you're ready. I'm not trying to be rude.
Blue Apron. Ready. We're going. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, hey.
It was Blue Apron, brand new sponsor. The hey. About Last Night podcast saved Andrew Siciliano's relationship.
Did it sit? No, it didn't save my relationship, but I love Blue Apron. It reminded me. It reminded me that I needed to cook more, like about actually a year. Last February, I got sick of eating out all the time because I'm a total restaurant.
You're a foodie.
I don't want to be, because we overuse foodie.
That's true.
New restaurants.
Yeah.
I am not someone oh, it's the chef from this place and this place and this. Sometimes I am. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
But... Like, I looked at my credit card statements. I'm like, good God, how much money am I spending eating out? And I hadn't cooked a lot recently. And then I got the Blue Apron thing, and I became addicted to it. And I'm not that good, but I'm not awful, and I'm not great. I've screwed up one in, like, a year. That's it. In 11 months, I've only screwed up
one. It's pretty impressive streak.
And when it comes to the relationship thing, I will say this, is that it is great. It was great. This is my previous relationship. To do something together, and it became like I was doing 3 days a week, and I am right now. And there's a Blue Apron box sitting on my front door when I get home.
Wow,
look at that!
It was something where the girlfriend at the time and I could do something together.
Yes,
instead
that's
of going
cute,
out.
Right? How long have you guys been together?
How long were we together?
A
year.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all
Blue
good.
Apron ended your relationship.
It did not, but it was something where. We all know we get sick of sitting across the table from each other sometimes.
Yeah.
Everyone does in a relationship, trying to ask what you did that day and how your day went.
Sometimes I look across the table and go, Brad, you're still here?
Exactly. But the cooking together thing
that's an activity.
Together.
It does.
Well, and then the next time you use Blue Apron, just use promo code ALN. That's promo code ALN.
ALN. And I, if you're my friend, I still have like 5 free meals to give away on the app, which you can do.
There you go.
Now, what was your go-to? You are, obviously, the last name, you are Chinese. So
I am. Yeah. I am, by far. I love things with noodles and chopsticks. Actually, I do. I love Asian food. So,
what's your go-to? Like when you would cook?
When I
you're Italian, correct?
I am. Yeah. I cooking by my own. I actually was a one wok got kind of guy.
Yeah.
I would just whatever I had in the house, I'd throw it in the damn wok and see how it came out.
Nice.
However, there you go. For Italian food, I like to make my grandmother's sauce.
I don't have
Christmas thing.
I've got December a mom's thing. Meatloaf and like a stepdad's like grilled cheese, and like that's you know
chicken marsala. I was good at that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's easy.
Yeah,
there relatively you go. Easy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, now when you're sitting down and having a conversation about cooking and food with guys, is that a relief that you're not talking sports 24/7?
It's got to be, right,
care, man? I we all love sports. Why would I not want to talk sports?
What a great dude, question.
Do you guys
ever want to not talk comedy?
Yes.
No,
I always do.
Unless it's with people who are so. I mean, look, like when I'll go home and my mom's friends from Temple will ask me, like, what do Sandra Bullock's boobs smell like? You know, that's a different question than like, hey, when's the next time you're performing in Seattle? You know right. what I'm saying? So that I don't have a lot of answers for other than peaches and cream. But like, no, that's not true. She's a great, great human being and a great woman.
Oh.
But no, we love talking comedy all the time. But
never saw The Blind Side, by the way.
Great movie.
I'm sure it is. I hate sports movies.
Have you seen The Heat?
Which one's that?
That one? That I was
Should
in.
Should I say yes?
No, you don't have to.
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Catch it on a plane.
I haven't seen it.
There you go.
Is that on Netflix?
Probably.
Okay, I'll see it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think people do assume that you guys, because especially you for having wearing so many different hats and probably talking about so much in between breaks and off and prepping so much that there does come a time when you're just like, man, I need a break to not watch it or live it. But I feel like it is the opposite where you wouldn't be in it if it didn't consume you and you'd enjoy that, right?
Look, we're all fans. I mean, we, all of us in this business, I think, in the sports business, we're here because we grew up loving this.
Yeah.
And you never, yeah, you get jaded. We all get jaded in all our jobs. So, yes, we get jaded in our job as well. But at the same time, you are still a fan. Like last night, watching the Clemson-Alabama game.
Unbelievable game.
With my friends.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I'm jumping off the couch making noise. Now, can I be that guy every night? No, but nobody is.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love talking sports, and it never does get old. Sometimes you have that moment, and look, this is not to say they're good fans and bad fans. Everyone has only so much time in their life to dedicate themselves to knowing what they're talking about because they have bills to pay and kids to feed.
Yeah, sure.
But sometimes you'll get that guy at the airport who
strikes up a conversation
you
with you.
You sit down and you look up and you see the game and they want to talk about the game and you say, hey, I just got here. What happened? And then they say something like, oh, well, it was 0-10. Like, no, it was 10-0.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, you get one of those people.
It was
like,
1-0-0.
Yeah. And then you kind of figure out what it is you're dealing with.
Totally.
Their level of fandom. They're not going to, that particular guy, he's not going to be telling you that this quarterback isn't necessarily doing well and they've been doing only short passes. He's not going to give you that level of analysis.
But by the way, that guy's still a customer. He's still probably a guy that buys a jersey maybe and goes to the game.
Yeah, so
still
if he's
coming into the store.
If he says like, man, the Dolphins are playing but still no sign of Ray Finkel, you have to give a little bit of like,
exactly.
You have to laugh and give him a chance to see if that was a joke or not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you enjoy just riffing, like having those moments with people? Once you figure out somebody like Brad or I, who I feel like, you know, our lives are heavily dedicated to sports and watching and enjoying and knowing that, like, do you feel like, is there a certain fan that you are like, you'd rather talk to somebody like us that knows just enough, a little bit more,
you guys
or
know what you're talking about? Come on.
Or do you ever feel like do you get into the?
We're just repeating what you guys.
Yeah,
said.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah,
but no, it isn't.
Now we form our own opinions.
You guys have your opinions.
Yeah,
here's what I enjoy talking to people that have opinions.
Gotcha.
Whether they're right or wrong, at least they have one.
Totally.
There's nothing worse, as Jim Rome once said, "Have a take, don't suck." There's nothing worse than someone that doesn't have an opinion.
Yeah.
Right? And that goes. I think into everything. I mean, whether it's news or politics or sports or entertainment or
just someone that they have a definite stance, whatever that may be. And if it's not your take, your opinion, that's when you have an interesting conversation and maybe you might learn about someone.
The world is built on good discussion and divergent opinions.
I love
And sports as well. So no, to answer your question, does it get old talking about football? hell no. If it gets old talking about football, I'll find something else to do, and I highly doubt that'll ever happen.
Yeah, have you ever found yourself in a situation with a significant other where, like, do you want a woman who knows a lot about sports, or is that too much?
No, no, you absolutely do, because it's your life. I mean, first, I would like to think of myself as someone that has other interests and whose life isn't consumed only by football.
Yes.
But when, at the same time, you have to spend, because it is your job, and you have to go to work prepared. I know this is not digging ditches here, but knowing and watching, sure, if you can have that conversation, it helps your relationship immensely. Sure.
And immensely. And that person has to be someone that has to be willing to sit down with you on a Thursday night to watch the Thursday night game.
I'm a royal pain in the ass, because I will admit that sometimes you say, I got to watch the Thursday game, and you use that as an excuse of getting out of, there's a game on. Yeah. I mean, you always have, there's always a game on.
Right. Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically, but you also have to find time to compartmentalize. I mean, I've come in sometimes on a Tuesday morning or a Friday morning to NFL Network and gone, I will admit, I left at halftime to go to dinner. Now, I watched all the highlights. Yeah, I read everything.
Yeah, sure.
But I will admit, so as we discuss what we're doing on our show, if there's some nuanced stuff that I may have missed, please, and it happened in the fourth quarter, let me know so we can discuss this so I can go in there as prepared as I can.
How deep in the excuse drawer do you go? Do you go like, hey, it's a Canadian Grey Cup. Sorry, babe. I can't go out tonight.
Nice.
Canadian League football. Yeah, I got the name of the title right. Yeah. Grey Cup.
The Grey Cup. No, I've never used a Grey Cup excuse.
The Montreal Alouettes are playing the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Very good.
Woo!
Or the Calgary Rough Riders. There are two Rough Riders.
There are two Rough Riders. There's two teams in the CFL that have the exact same name.
Nice. I used to do Arena Football League games.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, no kidding.
That's exciting, right?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I had a blast.
XFL or Arena Football League?
Oh, I like the AFL better. Although I was at the very first XFL game at the Coliseum.
The Los Angeles Extreme.
Yes.
Now, what is XFL versus?
That was Vince McMahon's version of the NFL.
Exactly.
Where's my football? This is the XFL.
Remember, that was the very first game, and it was on NBC, and they did it. It was in Vegas, and I think, wasn't initially they were going to, like, have two guys grapple for the ball at midfield to determine possession?
Yeah, well,
that's incredible.
What they did is they had the ball at midfield, and two guys on like, the 40, and just said, go get the ball. Whoever gets the ball first. Ready, set, go.
Right.
So there's no coin toss.
And Matt Vasgersian, I think, did the first game, I want to say. You know, Matt Vasgersian, MLB Network.
Baseball broadcaster, great
at his job. But Vince McMahon financed the thing, or at least was the face of the thing. And for that first game, he was out there with a mic, and he just growled. This is the And the very first game at the Coliseum for our team here, they had
Los Angeles Extreme, quarterbacked by Tommy Maddox.
Exactly. In the east end zone, the peristyle end of the Coliseum.
Yep.
For those who aren't from LA, you could picture that. They had like a hot tub with the cheerleaders in the hot tub.
Oh,
I mean, come on, Vince.
Wow. And it was a crowd.
That's America.
It was. I don't think they had metal detectors, but they needed them. It was that kind of crowd.
Weren't there the arena football was like insane scoring, right? Like it was
like you could have I think I called a 75-68 playoff game.
Oh my god!
Damn.
Well, that's so exciting.
It was awesome.
It's kind of. I mean, do you think the NFL should ever make changes to where scoring goes up, or do you think everything is?
I think they've been trying to. I mean, you have that now with college football. Nobody plays defense in college football anymore. I mean, we saw for Alabama last night, obviously, and Clemson can play defense. But look at some of these Big 12 scores, or everyone goes spread, and you're going to throw 9 touchdowns a game. Syracuse, my alma mater, the game, what was it, with Pitt? Like in the Saturday after Thanksgiving? Honestly, I think the score was like 70-60.
Yeah. I actually watched that game. I forget what hotel room I was alone in, frequently masturbating in. But
nice.
I did turn on that game.
By the way, if a midget masturbates during your team's win, like that means they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. That is
good luck. I read that. Yeah.
A midget masturbates.
You know what? Yeah. As good as a reporter as he is, Gene Wojciechowski? From Yahoo?
Yeah, I believe.
He did not have that.
He did not have that.
He does not know that if a midget masturbates while watching the game.
It's a good luck charm.
Yeah.
Totally missed that one.
Yeah.
Totally missed that one.
But do you think...
It's one to grow on, so to speak.
Rich Eisen, got it. Just throwing that out there. Rich Eisen, deep cut.
Eisen loves midgets. Coming this fall to Fox.
Yeah, I didn't say that one.
But I do venture to guess, like, if there would be, like, obviously we moved the NFL moved the field goal back, which
or the extra point,
yeah, which has hurt Stephen Hauschka incredibly. Yeah,
and it hurt. I mean, Bill Belichick and the Patriots were the team that brought that to the table last year, mm-hmm. right? And it hurt, if we remember. When Steve Gostkowski missed in the AFC Championship game, it's one of the reasons, other than they couldn't block Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware,
yeah.
the Patriots in the AFC Championship game lost to the Broncos.
Yep.
I mean, it came full circle, and it makes the game that much more interesting.
I think
so many people said at the time, this is stupid. Why would you do that? It messes with tradition. In the end, I don't think anyone is that upset about
it. No, I think that worked out great because the tradition was everyone just kicks the extra point and makes it 99.9% of the time.
This is what it was.
And why even do it at that point? I love the fact that the Steelers oftentimes say, screw kicking the extra point.
Like
and they go for two.
A couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
Because they decided to go all in early.
Yep.
And then at the end, you know, you're now chasing.
Right. You're trying to get back to even.
In the fourth quarter.
Right.
And, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I love the AFL, man. I started doing games for the... I was the voice starting in 2003 of the Arena Football League's franchise in Vegas.
No way.
The Las Vegas Gladiators.
Nice.
So I would fly to Vegas 8 times in the span of like 16 weeks, and the other 8 games were on the road. So Phoenix or San Jose or Austin.
Awesome.
There was a team on Long Island. There was a team in Grand Rapids. That was brutal. there was a team in Nashville.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
What a great gig. How do you fall into that?
So I decided, I did play-by-play in college at Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go all the way back, actually.
Okay.
I want to know, because you're one of the best at what you do.
This is a very
big treat to have you here, so thank you for making time.
My pleasure.
You not only being so knowledgeable and like personable with what you do, which I feel like is key, especially for dudes, like you feel like you can talk with you like this, and you're not talking down to or like you never make
people think I talk down to them sometimes.
Nah, but that's because they're stupid and Trump supporters. And so, but you also have a great radio voice. So play by play is what I want to do for forever. Like I used to mute the TV and do that to like M's games and Sonics games.
Yeah,
and, you know, Calabro is like an idol to me. So I want to know, like, when you first...
That's what I was going to USC to do. I wanted to be a broadcast journalist.
I think every young... I feel like it's consistent with any young prepubescent male who's obsessed with sports,
sure.
right?
Absolutely.
Had that. So
totally.
When did that... You grew up in Virginia.
I did, outside D.C.
And so where were your influences? Where did you play... Like, what first got you on the path of, like, oh, man?
I played baseball as a kid, like every short Jewish 5 foot, 6 and a half kid. I was a second baseman and a right fielder.
Nice.
Were
you good?
It was media. I was a good glove. I couldn't hit at all. Wanted to play baseball. Never really went very far with it. And I used to, back in the days of AM radios, before Sunday Ticket, before MLB Extra Innings, we had the Oriole games on, and we would get like the Braves games on TBS. We didn't get GR on our cable package. We had TBS, so I just watched those games.
Who were those announcers, by the way? I was obsessed with them.
So back for the Orioles, John Miller was doing the Orioles.
That's
back
right,
then,
yeah. But the TBS guys on the
TBS
Braves.
TBS guys were like Skip Carey, Chip's dad, Skip Carey,
dude.
Pete Van Wieren.
Yeah. They were unbelievable.
That's one of the reasons why you have a lot of Braves fans all over the country is because they were the only team that had games on national.
Oh, that was so many Cubs fans are in Phoenix because that's
WGN.
All they got was GN on cable and they watched the Cubs. So I grew up with that. So my father's from Cleveland.
Gotcha.
So we were raised, my brother and I were raised, huge Indians and Browns fans. But
do you ever get mad at your dad for that?
It's child abuse in many states. And we didn't have that. We had the Orioles there, no Nats.
Yeah.
And we had the Redskins, who were back in their glory days in the 80s, going to the Super Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go to those games, but we were diehard Indians and Browns fans. So every night during the summer, I would go to sleep listening to baseball games.
Amazing.
And it was John Miller doing the Orioles on local radio out of Baltimore. But I had mapped out every single AM station on the East Coast. So I could listen to The Red Sox, who were on the big stick there, was WTIC 1080 out of Hartford. I could listen to the listen to them. I could listen to the Yankees on 660, or the Mets on 770, or the Cubs on GN, or the White Sox on 1000, or I could listen to the Reds or the Indians then, and still are, on 1100. Then was 3WE.
Whoa.
Now WTAM. And I mapped out on the AM dial, and I would sit in my room, and I would listen to every baseball game. And I would just go up and down the dock.
You were the MLB package before the MLB package.
On radio.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. But I was, some people might find this shocking, others may not. I was a pretty shy kid.
Yeah.
I was not, like, the idea of speaking in front of a group of people.
Terrifying.
Beyond terrifying. Yeah. And even to this day, I don't like addressing, like, hey, come MC this event. Okay, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
But I am far more comfortable on TV or on radio than I ever am in front of, like...
Well, it's another thing when you can see the faces.
Exactly. I don't... Be honest, I don't know how you guys do what you do.
We're super
because...
No, we're the greatest people of all time.
Huge, huge dicks.
Here's why.
Huge cocks. Just massive. No. That's the only way you can do it. The only way that they...
Because if all this is the joke bombs, you just drop your trowel.
Right, yeah.
But you go, well, this is impressive, right?
You guys get immediate rejection or reaction.
Yeah. That's what's exciting about it.
It's exciting, but I
accustomed to the
hate it.
Yeah. I know. I mean, well, look, it took time to even get the thick skin to sit in the silence and go, oh, that didn't work. Let me try this, or let me do this, because this will, I mean, and just trusting that you can get out of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure, you know, if you MC a few more events, I'm sure you'll get that.
And I think I'm more comfortable, but even I did radio for years, like as a talk show host. And when you're working with producers on the other side of the glass that aren't paying attention because they have their jobs to do.
Granted, yeah, sure.
I'm not trying to say that they need to sit there like puppy dogs nodding and all the time and wagging their tail.
Well, it would be nice.
But even like I've worked with guys in radio who give you no reaction. Ugh. Even if they're not doing, like, even if they're, and you're like, come on, man, I got to, like, help me out with the audience here, because that's the only audience you have.
Dude, you need one. In any sort of media, you need one.
You need a reaction.
Yeah, right.
Some kind.
Like, I can't imagine doing this if we, like, when he first asked me to do this podcast, I was like, oh, well, that sounds entertaining, because if we don't have guests, there's, like, we are each other's audience when it's just him and I.
Yeah.
You have to have something, right? Like, I mean, where do you get that in doing the NFL Network stuff?
You always work with people.
Yeah.
You've worked with, you worked there for a long time, and you have your producers, your research people. So you always get some kind of reaction.
Okay.
Not that you always needed to be patted on the back.
No.
I don't want anyone to, you guys know what you're
doing. Yeah.
It's just a good gauge.
You can't be in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yes. Is what I'm saying.
It's just a good gauge to go, like, okay, that was funny. Oh, I just said something weird.
I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
Right. I don't need a cookie.
Yeah.
But. So anyway, going back, I would have never imagined I would ever do this. And I wanted to be a writer. I thought maybe that's a way into sports.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching the All-Star game, baseball All-Star game at Wrigley in the late 80s, early 90s, whatever year that was.
Okay.
I think Julio Franco might have been MVP that night.
Nice. I imitated that batting stance every chance I had.
I was an Indians fan. I loved it. And I remember watching on SportsCenter the pregame scrum before BP or during BP, and I remember seeing on the field Cal Ripken and Tony Gwynn and Wade Boggs and Don Mattingly and Roger Clemens and all these greats and Kirby Puckett.
Fuck.
And I went, I want to be there.
Yeah.
And I want to be, so I'm going to be a writer. And so I wrote for the school newspaper, and I was going to go, and I got into Newhouse at Syracuse.
Well, you would cover the school newspaper. You would cover sports, like Mace?
Yeah, sports. Mm-hmm. So I covered our basketball team.
Were they good?
Grant Hill was on our basketball team.
What?
So we had a good basketball team.
Grant. I bought those feelers.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody gave me shit.
Wow.
The feelers.
Coming to the Game Show Network next year, I bought those feelers. Hosted by Grant Hill.
Yeah, coincidentally.
And Dougie Fresh, I believe, wore feelers.
There he is.
What was that like watching him play, first of all?
He was good. He was a big. I mean, he played.
Yeah.
He was a big his first 3 years.
Oh, my God.
6'8". And then, like, our high school games would have Coach K and John Thompson and all the scouts. Guys.
Mm-hmm. So you would write, like, what were you covering? I mean, you must have just an open
So, full disclosure, I didn't cover the team until my junior year. He left my sophomore year.
Okay. Okay.
We had a great team with an All-American named Joey Beard after that, who also went to Duke, but then flamed out, ended up at BU in Boston.
Did you have free reign to kind of, like, cover what you wanted and write about what you wanted to write about?
Well, I mean, we were 15. What was there to write about? They won.
Yeah.
Like, here's a quote from the coach. Right. But just to watch him play.
Gotcha.
Fantastic. But then his senior year, he signed with Duke before his senior year, if my memory is correct. And then they announced, well, Grant's going to play point now. And you're like, why is a 6'8 guy playing point? Like, why is Coach K running our team?
Yeah.
Then you see, oh, wow, he's a guard. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, dude.
Well, because also he's 6'8, and with you guys in Virginia, that's the tallest kid in the league.
Yeah.
6'8 when you're going to Duke is like, yeah, you're a point guard.
Exactly.
You're not a center.
Turned out he was pretty good at being a guard.
What was the best thing about writing for the paper that you felt like you could take to the next step in your...
I just...
It was a cool thing to do to keep you in the path.
I was learning to write and learning to talk to other humans. I mean, I was a shy, pretty shy kid.
So you're like, hey, coach,
I was better around adults than around kids,
than
around my own peers.
Okay, did that make it a little easier to talk to the coaches then when you were
I guess. I honestly don't even remember. All I know is that I decided I was going to be a writer, mm-hmm. and I went to Syracuse, and then I got in. We have a student radio station there called WAER, which is in Newhouse. It's owned by the school, but it's run by students. But it's not your typical student wacky FM
mm-hmm.
radio.
Yeah.
It's NPR.
Oh, shit.
It for years was and still is the station where the students did the play-by-play. So Costas did his games there. Marv did his games there. Dick Stockton did his games there.
God.
Rico did his games there. And it's much like rushing a fraternity. They only let X number of people in every year. And then once you get in, then you're doing sports at 15 and 45 past the hour. You're doing that.
Yep.
And then you mm-hmm. eventually work your way up to doing games. So I got on the air as a freshman. Somehow,
amazing.
And I decided I'm going to focus on this instead of... instead of writing, and then I don't know how I got here. That's how I got here.
Holy shit!
There's some other stops along the way.
But. Were you covering Jim Boeheim? Like,
yeah, we had great teams. I mean, my senior year was '96. I'm old, and we went to the final.
And somehow you look younger than we do.
Yeah, so
how
well
old
done.
Are you guys? What?
34,
32.
I'm 42.
Dude, yeah,
old
you
as dirt, man.
Yeah, and have cleaner skin than both Brad and I.
So well done, sir.
I wear makeup every day.
Yeah. It's that Blue Apron cooking.
I am
some in the sauce.
Promo code ALN for your soft skin as well. Use promo code ALN to have Siciliano type soft skin.
When you're closer to 50 than to 30. Yeah, everybody.
Wait, so then you at some point you go, all right, now you get your chops in the broadcasting mm-hmm. world, and you're like, I feel ready enough to at that point you go like, I'm going to New York, I'm going to LA, I have two options,
or
what?
I just wanted a job, man. I did radio, but I stayed up there during the summers at Syracuse, and rather than going home, and I worked at the quote-unquote professional radio stations in Syracuse doing news and sport. Like I covered City Hall, other crap during the summer. I covered mm-hmm. fires and cats Jesus. And trees and all that. I did some minor league baseball play by play, and I never ever wanted to do TV. I did no TV internships, no TV anything. I was radio. The thought of being in front of a camera mortified me.
Yeah.
And I got a radio job out of school, luckily, at WMAQ Radio in Chicago, which was a CBS All News O&O.
Yeah.
And I did the sports at 15 and 45 thing. I was 21. I was the youngest guy in the market, and it scared you know what. But moved to Chicago at 21, which, I mean, is amazing.
It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, that's a fantastic city.
It's to spend 21 to 25 in Chicago.
Yeah, you got every venereal disease you could possibly get, is what you're trying to say. And a couple Jaeger bombs later, hello, HPV.
Jaeger was a big part of Chicago.
But I mean, but being in the city, too, where...
That's not coffee. That's straight penicillin.
Yeah.
Right now.
Blue Apron penicillin.
I drink like 9 cups of this a day.
Me too, dude. But being in a city, too, at that time, where the sports are such a big part of the culture, right? That's...
Chicago's an awesome town. I never thought I would leave, and I would go back there not that I want to leave LA, but Chicago is one of those towns where you just got to experience it once, and to experience it as a young person, kind of learning to live your life on your own and meet new friends. And it's amazing. And the sports were great too at the time, because we had
That's Jordan's Bulls.
The last two, Title V and Title VI, I got to cover as a young radio reporter.
Whoa!
So there I got to go. Cover those.
Did you think my Sonics had an actual chance?
I wasn't there for the. Oh,
you said
no,
the six
title. No, six was against Utah.
Oh, five was Seattle. 96.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Were both Utah? I don't remember.
Utah was
97,
88. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. It was Seattle, then Utah.
Yeah, Utah.
Because we traded Kemp to Cleveland and Vin Baker, which we all know how that worked out.
Yeah, Vin. played the piano well, didn't he?
He actually played the in-game keyboard. Yeah,
God bless him.
Do you have a favorite sports city that you've been to? That I mean, obviously,
I like Chicago.
Yeah,
really do like
it's Chicago. It's been described to me as being a large town with a small town feel.
So I moved there to build off that, and I moved to Wrigleyville, and it was amazing how. I was there a month, and you'd walk down the street, and you knew your neighbors already because. Everyone takes public transportation to get downtown to go to work. You have corner bars and corner coffee shops. Not that LA doesn't have that. We do.
Yeah.
Especially where you guys are.
Yeah.
But it had that great sense of community.
Yeah.
It's, as you said, it's the biggest small town.
Absolutely.
So, you think sports are a big part of that bring people together like that?
Part of it, especially in that neighborhood.
You know, I was on my way to Pennsylvania to do shows, and I had a layover in Chicago, 2-hour layover, and it was on game 7 of the World Series this past year. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, God, I should cancel. I'm going a day earlier to do press. I was like, what are the odds my layover's in Chicago during game 7? Like, I land, it's the fifth inning.
What'd you do?
And I look up, and the whole time I'm like, I should cancel my flight and not go. And then I look up at the screen, it says flight canceled. So I get a hotel. Oh, wow. I go to my buddy's place in Wrigleyville.
Awesome.
And dude, I mean, it was the craziest shit I've ever seen. Like, I stayed up all night. The high fives and hugs I gave to every different type, color, size of person was unbelievable. I mean, it was just like I've never seen like the country so unified, and I was like, oh, this is because of sports, and it was unfucking real.
It's what's great about sports, and it's why we all come back. It's why because you're looking for that euphoria, whether you're rooting for the team or not. It was really the World Series was awful for me because I am a diehard Indians fan.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So I have all kinds of family in Cleveland. I flew in for game 1 of the ALCS. I flew in for game 1 of the series. I flew in for game 6 of the series.
Oh, because you thought that was it.
Flew in my parents as well. All I wanted to see was my father be there.
God,
my
dad grew up in Cleveland.
My dad was 9 in 54 when Vic Wertz had that. You know, was robbed by Willie Mays.
Yeah.
So I flew my old man, and I wanted him to be there. They lost, and I had a bad feeling about game 7, and I just went home. He didn't want to stay either. He was exhausted from the up and back. So, but what killed me is I spent so many good years in Chicago, and I lived in Wrigleyville, and in 98, when I wasn't covering Sosa, right? My buddy Chris Busen lived at 1032 Waveland, the brown building in left field. We saw the guys, you know,
holy
the fish.
Crap.
And so, and he had that second floor apartment. I'd be sitting in the window in 98.
Oh my God. Shit.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
watching Sammy Sosa.
Right. And look at me, like, to be a part of that. Like, I get it. Like, I so badly want the Cubs to win, and I hated the Cubs in October. Like, I cannot tell you how bad I hated the Cubs because it's the Indians.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, I remember I do a thing here in KNX on the radio for football on Thursday mornings, and game 7 was a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so on Thursday morning, I come on, and isn't it so great the Cubs won? I said, no, I hate the Cubs. I wanted them to lose. What do you mean? It's a great thing. No, I'm rooting for the other team.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? It's a great thing. Yeah, the Indians haven't won since 48 either. Yeah.
Right. You
that
forgot that.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But America got behind the Cubs, and I hated that it became like the Red Sox in 02 or whatever.
Right. Where the entire country just wants the streak to end. But you're like, in any
there's
other...
There's another streak.
Right.
Any other,
one.
Any other opponent, the entire nation would be tribe.
Right. But I get it.
Right.
Because I lived through it. And I am happy for Cubs fans. And I was so happy for it. Yet at the same time, I just wanted my streak to end.
I think the Indians are going to get back there. And if they match up again, I think would take it.
Hope so.
I mean, I thought...
Let's give it out.
So... Kipnis in the bottom of the ninth inning after they tied the game.
Yeah.
Kipnis off the bat on TV looked like he hit it out. But if you asked people in the building,
So, no, it was a foul ball the whole way. But on TV, if you go back and look at that Kipnis ball in the ninth inning, off the bat, like I jumped off my couch and yelled, "We won." Yeah. Like, literally, I jumped off my couch. I had champagne on ice. I don't own a champagne bucket. I went out and bought one. Wednesday on my way home from work, I went home. I went. I stopped at Cost Plus World Market.
Quick shout out.
Yeah, and bought that $15 champagne bucket.
Using promo code ALN. That's why.
You got it, yeah.
Normally $20.
Okay, so...
I talk too much. You guys talk more.
No.
It's fine. You're our guest because... First of all, I watch you every Sunday when you're doing the Red Zone. There was a time when I was in San Francisco when my building forced me to have Comcast and I had to watch Evil Scott Hansen.
He's a friend.
The exact same job. But we all know Andrew Siciliano is top. And if you have the option, you must have DirecTV, so therefore you can see Andrew Siciliano do the NFL Red Zone, which is the concept of the Red Zone channel. I think has between the Red Zone channel mixed with fantasy football.
Yeah.
That has made football the number one sport in America.
I don't want to take credit for it. Football stands on its own. I think the way it has grown and fantasy football has grown and the way that collectively America's attention span has shortened, I think it's a perfect storm. We didn't create America's attention deficit, but I don't think we helped it.
Well, we kind of did with YouTube and...
Well, and you're saying you like...
I say
you,
we, like
Red Zone.
What
oh, the Red Zone. Oh, yeah.
But I think we're certainly helped by it.
Fuck yeah.
Sure. And because, I mean, and especially as a guy who's always traveling, I can't tell you how many times I'd be on the road like, all right, it's football Sunday, and the only game I could watch is Cleveland against Tennessee. Not too happy about it. Not too thrilled. But now I have my Red Zone channel with me on my iPad at all times, and it saves the football season for me.
It's
wonderful.
Were you pumped when that job came? I mean, was that something that they just came to you and was like?
None of us had any idea that it would be like this.
Because you didn't know what it was.
We had no idea what it was.
This was unprecedented.
The story is, so we just finished our 12th year. So was it 05, I guess? And they... Eric Shanks and David Hill. David Hill, legendary sports television pioneer, the man who brought the NFL to Fox, the man that put the blue dot on the puck.
On the puck.
Legendary.
Yep.
He's the one who came up with the knuckle puck in Mighty Ducks 3.
He did. he's done it all.
Legendary.
Yeah.
At the time, Fox owned DirecTV.
Okay.
And so David and Eric Shanks, who's now president of Fox Sports, they were going back and forth between both. And I was doing... I had done like 4 or 5 shows, I think all of which have been canceled at FSN, but we're currently doing the Ultimate Fantasy Football Show, which at the time was the only fantasy football show. It was the first and the only fantasy football show on TV with Eric Kramer and Warren Moon and Patrick O'Neill. And Shanks called me up and said, hey, we got this thing coming. I want to talk to you about something. So I go into his office at DirecTV and he said, listen, we did this in Italy with Serie A soccer. And we just bounced around. I think their game day is Saturday.
Yeah.
We bounced around. But we did it differently. What we did is we had, because soccer, a lot of soccer games are called by guys in the studio.
Right.
So we had a big room, and like Fabrizio was calling the Lazio game, and Enrico was calling the AC Roma game, and they would just like bounce back, like they would stand up and like, let's toss over to Fabrizio over there, and he's got that, and they would do it that way.
Oh, wow.
It's like, so we want to do this all in one channel. What do you think? And David knows you're coming in, and we think you'd be perfect for it. You have a radio background, and it's quick. We think it'd be good. And my first reaction was, obviously, yes, I need to take this job. My second reaction was, well, hell, I'm like everyone else. I sit with all my friends on the couch watching Sunday Ticket. Like, we have our group of 10 dudes, and we drink beer and get angry, and I'm going to tell me I can't do that anymore? That was my first reaction. But at the same time, this is cool, but we had no idea it was going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our first year, CBS hadn't signed up yet or hadn't signed off on it for that year. So our first year, we couldn't even show CBS games live. We could only show Fox games live.
Oh,
which,
shit.
Depending on how the games laid out that day, you might be really handcuffed. You might only have like 3 games you could go to.
Sure, especially in the late hours.
Exactly.
You might only have 2.
Right. We could show the highlights when the game ended, but we couldn't show the game live.
Could you show the CBS highlights sort of as they're happening? Mm-mm. No. Oh, nothing. Wow. So only when the game ended.
Yeah. So damn. Our first year was a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like it, not that it becomes easier, but it's more exciting and more when you can cut to more stuff all the time, right? If it's just three options, it's like,
well,
you might sit on one for a while.
Like when we grew up watching games as kids. You know, they would go to the studio and Brett Musburger would show you one highlight and then tell you about the other ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On full screens.
Wow. Right.
Well, you want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we've now evolved to the, if you miss the touchdown live by 10 seconds, people want to murder you.
Oh, shit.
I'm exaggerating. You get my point.
Yeah. You've retweeted some things sure. that people send you that are just like that are just hilarious.
Live, if it's not live, it sucks.
Yeah,
but that's the attitude that we have too. We want it to be live. I don't want it missing.
And when you're there, let's say you're doing the early games, and sometimes there's eight games going on at once. How is it working? Is it you and a producer? Do you have spotters that are literally just watching TV?
Is it like
going,
Minority Report where you're like shoving the TVs, like, you know, like it, picking it, one, swiping it in?
You're both right. It's kind of like that. We have, so DirecTV built this beautiful studio and we have these massive monitors. It's a wall of monitors and I'm pacing kind of and screaming at the TVs. All the games are numbered. So let's say the Browns play the Bills. To you, it's the Browns game. To you, it's the Bills game. To me, it's the game in Orchard Park. So that's game one.
Yeah.
So okay. Everyone's got to go. That's one. That's, you have to speak in numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have a couple of spotters out there, guys who are great, been with us for a bunch of years, who have every roster. So if I look up and who the hell's 25 for the Dolphins, for example, they have the roster. They can tell me. And then we have a guy on the computer who is plugged into the NFL stat machine that's coming down real time. Mm-hmm. So if we're cutting to Minnesota because Adrian Peterson just ran 75 yards down to the five, I see that he's running down there. I see that he just got tackled. I say we're leaving Pittsburgh. We're going there because Adrian Peterson, but he's on the computer and knows, can see immediately it's 75 yards and can go 7-5. And so I could see that and get the right stats.
Holy
to give.
Shit.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, I have one producer in my ear, a guy named Bill Wagner, who's done it for like the last 5-6 years. James Crittenden did it before. Now James has moved up in the world to a big office. But he's the only one allowed to talk to me in my ear pretty much.
Okay. And yeah, because it can probably get pretty cluttered.
Your head will explode.
Yeah.
But what we do is sometimes I call it out, sometimes he calls it out. Mm. Like I may say, because my mic is off when we're on a game, 4. We got to go to 4. Look at 4.
Yeah.
But because I'm not looking at 10, he may go, no, 10. Like, they, you know, Antonio Brown just got tripped up on the 3. 10.
Gotcha.
Or sometimes it's...
And you're like, yeah, but John Ryan just made another goofy face when he punted the ball and broke his nose at the same time.
Somebody like, no, split 3-10. Split 3-10. Yeah. Or sometimes he's going, okay, we're going to 3 in 3-2. No, 5!
Oh, my
seriously,
God.
Like that. And then
it's like a kid with Tourette's playing roulette.
Yes. And
that's incredible.
It's like that. And sometimes, mm-hmm. let's say we have 2 games on, 3 and 5, let's call it. And I see that seven just, Carson Palmer just got picked by Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's down on the 12.
Yep. Quick, cut to Adam Ray jerking off. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But in the control room,
yeah.
They may or may not see it because they're juggling grenades in there.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we got a guy that's listening to the back hall from all the trucks at all the stadiums, knowing that they're sitting on a break on the kickoff. So when they kick off, we're not actually going to see the first play from scrimmage. They're doubling up on a timeout. So we can't go to that one on first down because they're going to go to a break as soon as we get there and it's not worth it.
Oh, my God.
And so I may say, and so they may be listening to a truck or lining up a highlight, and I may have to say, because my mic is on and I'm calling both games, that Richard Sherman just picked off Carson Palmer and the Seahawks are on the 12, basically alerting the control room on air. Can we bring in that one too?
Oh my God.
Wow. Or sometimes I'm calling the 2 That's and amazing. I don't see Richard Sherman pick off Carson Palmer and Bill gets in my ear and says, we're bringing in 7, Palmer picked off Sherman, 12-yard line, first down, adding 7 in 3-2-1. and then we bring in game seven. Now we got three games.
Can you run for president? I feel like you could handle so much at one time.
We have a well-oiled machine with a lot of people
I'd say
working
so.
Together for a long time.
Here's what I say. When they do like those NFL experiences in the city that the Super Bowl is in, mm-hmm. and they have the kids that like run the tires or they tackle a dummy or something, you should be able to experience that. For 10
That's a
minutes
great idea.
As a fan.
Wait, to be that person?
To try to host the Red Zone channel.
To be Andrew Siciliano?
Yeah, to be Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah.
Not Scott Hansen. You're way better.
Scott does a good job. Come on now.
But to be you, because I think everyone who gets mad at you for showing a punt or for missing a touchdown or whatever, their head would explode.
Yeah.
In within 5 minutes.
Well, sometimes there's just nothing to show.
Oh, sometimes there's all commercials.
What do you do then?
Punts,
how do you fill the air?
You show fantasy stats, or you show a highlight from earlier, or
like your
we have sponsored elements too. I mean, like there's stuff we got to get in.
Yeah.
You know, like on any show. but sometimes, especially when there's only three games late, you'd be shocked at how often there's nothing going on. You'd also be shocked at how slow three games feels after doing nine in the morning.
Oh, I can only imagine. It's
like the race car driver that's now got to go 35.
Oh, man. Has there been a day that you remember just in 12 years? By the way, that's incredible. Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's a fucking hell of a run.
It's amazing.
I think Empty Nest only did seven seasons, so that's...
There you go.
But John Larroquette.
Hold on. But what's the cutoff for syndication? For
100 episodes.
100 episodes?
Yeah.
So... That's close.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
They're not showing a rerun of 2008.
No, NFL Network does that now.
Really?
Do they really?
So
the Red Zone channel?
They do the Hanson. So I work for both. For those who don't know, I work NFL Network during the week.
Yep.
And then I work DirecTV on Sunday. NFL Network obviously has their
That's what I watch you on
well,
today.
On cable.
Yeah.
Exactly. With Scott Hanson does.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, does a good job.
Not as good as
and,
you.
Brad.
And they started this summer doing like random Red Zone Sundays from the week from last year.
Dude, that's how good you are.
It was they ran Scott's again, but but it's a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
Well, come on, think about it. Like, why do you think dudes will watch the same Sports Center five times in a row, or like every guy does this.
Because
you go to a game and you come
passed
and watch
out on the couch, man.
Yeah,
like when you're watching that late Sports Center and you're like, wait, hold on.
Why?
Hold on. Didn't
you're mouthing along with the commentator?
Did I see this Jeff Hornacek presser? hold on, wait, like Buttigieg did the exact same highlight read.
Yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
Like maybe I should watch Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
You should always be watching that.
How do you tweet during all this?
Great question.
Because your Twitter still goes nuts. And
I'm a raging narcissist who wants more followers.
And people should absolutely follow you at Andrew Siciliano
Thank
on
you.
Twitter. Because between you and maybe an Adam Schefter, you're getting all the news, all the NFL news.
Adam's breaking stories. Adam's
right.
Adam's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that is getting a source to tell him that this guy broke his leg and he's done.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm watching the games, and a lot of times, no one's watching the Jets and the Jaguars
mm-hmm.
because they're watching whatever the big game is or whatever we're showing. But I see that Geno Smith's warming up. So, I'll throw that in. I do it as much to alert people, hey, stick with us. We're about to show you something.
Right.
As I do anything. I also people ask me that all the time. You have a microphone. Why would you need to tweet? Why, especially during the show? But I'm mildly obsessed.
Are you personally tweeting from your phone?
I am. No,
okay,
I turn my phone off.
Oh, okay.
I can only take so much stimuli.
Also,
I turn my phone off during the show. I have my laptop open, much like this one with the white apple on the back.
Yep.
And I have TweetDeck open, and I have an entire feed of NFL PR directors, what they're tweeting, so I can see injuries and things like that. And then I have the other they have the other one where people say, I can't believe you're showing me the Jets game. You must have Brandon Marshall. Get off this bleepity. or you gambled on this game or something. Stop. Why is this game on?
What's the craziest heckle or tweet at and also do you feed into it? I just went through this last weekend on, I did some Facebook or Instagram Q&A for some comedy magazine and spent a good 20% of the time responding to haters in the Q&A.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder how guys like you and your do you feed into it or do you just not have time for it?
I admittedly fall for the bait sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The ones, I'm trying to think of a good one this year. Oh, I know. Ryder Cup.
Oh, shit.
Ryder Cup, whatever that Sunday was.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I like golf.
Sure.
I don't like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Ryder Cup to me is a great event. Yay, it's sports and
USA
go
against England.
USA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. They're also wearing funny shirts. So, like,
sure.
Like,
so they can all have a quote unquote uniform.
Right.
But yeah.
This looks silly. Anyway, I see on my feed, and I see because I think someone has it on in our studio, that we're Americans, we won the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I said, let's, meantime, let's go to, I don't know, LA, Jared Goff now in, or wasn't Jared Goff at the time,
Keenum.
Whatever, Case Keenum. And by the way, if you're wondering, we just won the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Great. The anger that I got, like every curse word in the, like my, you know when your Twitter feed is, like if you did a search.
Yeah.
Trump owned by the Russians right now. I'm sure you'd get a gazillion tweets.
Right. Yeah.
So fast you can't even read them.
Yeah.
I couldn't even read them because people were so, you ass. Like, I'm recording it.
Oh.
Everyone, because everyone is watching football.
Right.
So people were furious because they were taping the Ryder Cup.
Oh, my God.
Because it's their Sunday ritual. They're with us on Sundays.
Right.
Football's their religion on Sundays.
Right.
But they were going to watch the Ryder Cup later. Who the hell watches taped golf? Right?
Tape sports in general.
True, authentic
tape
assholes.
Tape sports in general.
Yeah.
In this day and
golf.
Age. Taped golf, yeah.
Like, taped golf.
You should have taken that chance to also like ruin like the next Star Wars movie.
I came on like 10 minutes later. I'm like, seriously? Like, you guys are upset about
good for you.
Golf.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. That's when they got really.
That's
this year.
That's amazing. And here you are thinking that you're just providing a cool service. Like, hey, by the way, you're watching football. You might want to also know USA Go.
Right.
We
We're
won
all
the
sports
Cup.
Fans, right?
Yeah.
So I'm reporting the news.
Yeah.
It's sports.
And you're a sports journalist.
Yes.
So that's your job.
Yes.
I can't handle when people. I was on a plane and the Seahawks. It was the end of a Seahawks game. Like, three. Are you good for another 15 minutes?
Yeah. No, we're good. We're good. Okay. I got one of these like notification watches like my Garmin thing, and it blows up, and I forgot to turn.
How
it
is it?
I love it. I'm a
improved
I,
life.
I hike all the time, and this is great. It's a GPS thing, but it's
we
also
get it.
Like
you look
the
younger
Apple
than
Watch
us.
Thing. it's sometimes you want to turn the notification off because like
it's constant.
Yeah,
you're getting a lot of like again with the Ryder Cup.
No, this is like Syracuse Gmail, like come watch the game kind of thing. Whatever.
Nice. What kind of watch does Scott Hansen have?
I have no idea.
Brad has a blow up doll of Scott Hansen in his room. He's wanting to see if he can get it signed. But I was on the plane, and the woman, it was all Seahawks fans. It was like an Alaska Airlines flight. Like, I mean, it was sponsored. Like, you wear a Russell Wilson jersey, you get to, like.
It's actually his picture on the tailwind.
Yeah.
The tail now, right?
If you wear a Russell Wilson jersey, I think you can board before first class and, like, people in who serve in the military.
They let you fly the plane.
So.
Get up there.
Oh, so we're on the plane, and we're all watching and cheering. Like, 80% of the plane. And there's a woman in front of us. She turns around, and she goes, can you guys, like, turn it down? Like, I have it taped at home. And I go, that's
shut
the craziest
up.
Shit I've ever heard. I go, turn around or come sit back here with us and enjoy it.
Those are some of the great moments, by the way, when you're on a plane and the pilot, like before the TVs, when we.
Yeah.
Just, update, fifth inning for those who want
the
to know.
Greatest.
Those are great.
Yeah. And then the whole plane cheers and bonds together.
And the pilot comes back and starts high-fiving. You're like, who's flying the plane? He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Are you heavily invested in this weekend's games? This is going to go up on Thursday.
Right.
So before the game. So
sure. So we have. So let's preview some games. We have on Saturday, we have some team called the Seahawks from some city.
Right.
Against the Atlanta Falcons at Atlanta.
I think the Seahawks are kind of in trouble.
Oh,
now,
man.
Now, I'll say this. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball well.
We are,
you guys are.
Because of what now? Do you think? Because some people are making the argument like, "Oh, the offensive line came together, or the Lions' defense was that bad."
The Lions have major defensive issues.
Okay.
I do think though they will be dedicated to the run, and I do think they will run well. That said, I have concerns about slowing down an offense that at home scores 30 points a game
without Earl Thomas.
Without Earl Thomas,
that so people bring that up a lot, and I think with good reason. Right,
a game. Earl Thomas did get the pick with 5 to go, week 6, to set up the Hauschka field goal to give you guys the lead before Richard Sherman tackled Julio Jones and got away with it.
All right. Our guest has been Andrew Cicilla. Thank you for coming by.
This game was in Seattle, would you pick this?
If the Seahawks had not blown it against the Cardinals, but by the way, I think the way it went down is will benefit us, because I think sometimes having that week off can hurt you. I think probably everyone's going to say, Adam, what are you talking about? Rest is probably always good in the NFL. But I think Paul Richardson and Rawls wouldn't have had the games they would have had. And that confidence going in, P. Rich now, I feel like, thinks he's a superstar receiver, and we need him to play like that, right?
Absolutely.
With no Tyler Lockett.
Those are good things. You're also 3-4-1 on the road.
Our guest one more time is Amanda Siciliano.
Oh, would it shock me if the Seahawks won? Absolutely not. They're a great team. I don't think this team is as good as the two teams that ended up in the Super Bowl, but they don't have to be. They don't have to.
And a lot of people say, too, like that Russ, so much of the offense falls on Russ now. Is that,
of course it is.
Yeah.
Who else is going to fall on?
I mean,
he's everything, especially without Marshawn.
Do you think mm-hmm. he's been hurt in the leg still and not being able to scramble as much? I think so.
But I think he's as close to 100% as he will be. And at this point, nobody is healthy.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's true.
Right?
Except for Tom Brady. Speaking of Tom Brady.
Yes.
Wait, real quick. So you think Falcons.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
If you had to pick.
If I had to pick one.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
Sorry, that's okay. Do you want to make some sort of bet over
friendly
this?
Friendly wager. Well, by NFL mandate, I am not allowed to gamble on anything. But
oh, great.
I will bet you...
like an iced coffee?
A nice coffee.
And a cool handshake?
And a cool
handshake. In public?
A Laurel and Hardy handshake and a nice coffee. Absolutely.
There you go. Houston at New England. That's a bye week for New England, right?
So I think this game plays out where at the end, New England wins and wins comfortably. I do think the Texans hang with them for a little bit. There's so much familiarity. However, the last two times they've played, it's been an aggregate of 54-6 for New England.
Yikes.
Week three, whatever it was, when Brady was lounging in Italy, Jacoby Brissett started that game. It was 27-0.
Okay.
See, these are the stats that, like, you know, this is why you do.
They whooped them.
Yeah.
And then there was the Letterman jacket thing a couple of years ago where they whooped them that night, too.
Yeah.
The Letterman jacket thing.
Yeah.
The Texans made up their own sort of high school Letterman
JJ
jackets.
Watt, and they showed up wearing like those Letterman jackets, and they got run.
Dude, I feel like that's always hurt somebody. Like, look what the Giants did. Like, do you think that for sure everyone's going to argue like not a distraction? It was a week away. For sure, a distraction. Also, Bieber. It was written in the Bible. You party with Bieber, you lose on Sunday.
Thou shalt not win.
Thou shalt not.
Like, I can't believe we at NFL Network this week put Bieber's name on the screen, like on four different topic cards, but that's the story.
That's the story.
And as for that, by the way, is it the reason they lost?
No,
not at all.
No, of course not.
But
he dropped balls because he dropped balls.
You better damn well believe that if you do lose,
they are
going to
talk about
that. It's going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, Hasselbeck, if you say we're going to get the ball and we're going to win and you don't win, people are going to be like, hey, Hasselbeck, shut the fuck up from here on out.
We want the ball and we're going to score. you didn't.
Yeah.
So we're all taking New England in that game.
Yeah.
Are we taking New England?
I'm taking New England.
All the way?
New England will be in Houston.
Wow. There you go.
Who's beating New England in the AFC?
I mean, the Steelers,
hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Yes. Yeah. They have a great offense. They don't have that typical Steeler defense, but they definitely have a great offense.
Wouldn't you love to see the Steelers in Foxborough?
I would love to see that.
Oh, my God.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know that the Steelers are going to win in Kansas City.
Because, that's the next game, and that's, in my opinion, that's going to be the best game of the weekend. I think that's going to be a fantastic game.
It's the one game I can't call. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Really?
No, it's the one where
why? Up.
So, Kansas City has trouble stopping the run without Derek Johnson. The Steelers and Le'Veon Bell will run right at him, as they did last week against the Dolphins. The Chiefs have the corners. They have the pass rush. They have everything they need to do to stop the Steelers. The Chiefs do. At the same time, you know, Andy Reid's offense with Tyreek Hill has been far more dynamic the last month.
And that guy's fast.
And they're at home. Like, that building still is hard to play in, and especially in the playoffs. But the Steelers are red hot.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time going against the Steelers, but the Chiefs are the better team with the home field advantage, or at least they're at home, right? I don't know. Like, I could talk my way into any.
Wait, is the game at Kansas City?
It's at Kansas City.
I'm at the Kansas City Improv this weekend. I was going to fly home on Sunday. I should probably try to get a ticket and go, shouldn't
I? It's the early game Sunday.
Yeah. You should go. Absolutely.
You ever been to a game at Arrowhead?
No.
Go.
It's insane.
Awesome.
Really?
Tailgate, eat, get.
So much barbecue.
Gain 30 pounds in the lot.
Yeah,
barbecue and go and stuff.
How about this for a bet? Seahawks win, you somehow get me a ticket. Seahawks lose, I take you on a hot air balloon ride around the world.
I will never get in a hot air balloon.
Hey, you didn't say with me.
I've done a lot of stupid things. I will never get in a hot air balloon. Ever.
Because of heights or because of you saw how the Wizard of Oz ended?
Yes. No, I don't mind heights, but I don't like the looking over the ledge thing.
By the way, and knowing that your life is being held up by a fucking children's
basket.
Party favor.
Yeah, you're in a basket.
Yeah.
Okay, as long as we all know we're in a basket.
with like a raging inferno above you.
Yeah. Doesn't sound good.
All
like,
signs point to no thanks.
I have like the gates of hell above you.
Yeah. And
then
wicker
you look
basket
down
below
and
you.
And you're in a wicker basket.
Yeah.
And also the sounds of wind blowing aggressively past your eardrums can't be like a soothing, calming sound.
No, like I've gone hiking where you're like they're chains, right? And you're on ledges.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't look down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't look down. But you know, I control it. Actually, I don't. I mean, nature could always take over.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This, you're like, no way.
All right. Well.
No way.
All right, but I should try to find a way to go.
You should do anything in your power to go.
I can't believe I didn't put that together.
Arrowhead's awesome.
The whole time I've just been like, oh, I'm going to be in Kansas City when the game happens. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Go to the damn game.
Hope I get peanuts on the flight home.
And he's not lying about the tailgating.
Really?
The tailgating in Kansas City, they'll have, because they pride themselves on barbecue, they'll bring out homemade smokers that'll do anything better than anything we have here in Los Angeles.
Well, I mean, their barbecue in Kansas City is amazing to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you give people, you know, 8 hours to tailgate.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Hammer City.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
All right. So that one you don't know.
I'll take the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Last game, Green Bay at Dallas.
Wow.
No one is hotter than the Packers.
I like the Packers.
Me too.
Rodgers. Although I do think if you look at Rodgers' numbers last year without Jordy for the whole season, it's an unfair comparison because they just had a bad year.
You put that up today.
Huh?
You put that up today in the show.
I think it's kind of unfair because they just had a bad year. And it wasn't all because of Jordy Nelson. There were so many other things going on there.
Yeah.
But
without Jordy even on the line, I mean, like,
look, without Jordy for the second half, because I think he got hurt in the second
quarter,
he still did his thing. He was red hot in the second half.
Yeah.
Especially considering it for the first 26 minutes of the first half, he was running for his life.
Yeah.
And then they got hot. So I don't know that it's going to have that much of a horrible effect.
He's not going to play, huh? Broken ribs, you don't play?
I don't think he's going to play. He's got two broken ribs.
Can't breathe.
I mean, I know Aaron told Dan Patrick on Tuesday that he might do the flak jacket thing, but I mean, God bless him if he
can. And also, he can't breathe. Dude, it's the playoffs. No, I'm joking. Breathing. That's like the worst.
Breathing. It's optional.
Yeah,
I think they're red hot. I know. I think the Cowboys may be affected by
lack of experience.
Lack of experience, the week off, all those things. Look, the fact that the Packers couldn't stop the run when I think it was week six when they were at Lambeau. So that was like the Cowboys' signature win. They had a lot of signature wins. But they go to Lambeau and you have the kids, you have Dak. I don't think Dez played that week.
Wow.
And they beat them. They beat them good. And when they needed to run the ball to put the game away, they pounded them. They ran for 191 yards in that game. And Zeke had like a 157, something like that. The Packers couldn't stop the run when they knew the run was coming. And if that happens again, then no, they're going to win. But I just got a feeling. I got a feeling. This is the Packers.
And do you think when now having your rookies like Dak and Zeke, do you think now in the playoffs, like now it's when it comes back to actually hurt you where go like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think it's more Dak than Zeke.
Yeah.
Really? Experience really is, I mean, it's talked about all the time in the NFL playoffs, but it really is like, I mean, it's a real thing. Like, there's an added level of pressure. You have an extra week now with that bye to think about it, right? So, I mean.
Or to get healthy. I mean, you could look at it that way, too.
Yeah. Or maybe he's just a fucking stud and just goes and is not even sweating it. I mean, like, he's been dumped, right? I mean, like.
Who, Dak?
Yeah.
So, a year ago today, Dak was getting ready for the Senior Bowl in Mobile. He wasn't in Mobile yet, but he was going to go to Mobile.
All right.
He got to Mobile. And all anyone wanted to talk about was, I did the game. That's all we talked about for a week. Jason Garrett and the Cowboys coaching Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended up getting the guy that played for the other team.
Wow.
And that guy hasn't been in the playoffs as the one seed in home field advantage.
Real quick side question from that, and then we'll wrap this up. But I want to know the whole Dak versus Romo. I mean, where do you stand on that? Do you think if Romo, like, they should have?
No, I mean, the kid was on a roll. He can't bend.
Yeah, you can't.
But, I mean, who? So, Goth, can you name the backup quarterbacks for the other teams? You can for the Seahawks, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Right. He's an undrafted rookie.
Yeah.
Trevon Boykin.
Yeah, yeah.
Only because he played, but New England, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Right?
That's about, and then Houston, Savage, is he going to be a backup?
Savage will be the backup this week.
Connor Cook, but.
Connor, well, they're gone. I guess,
yeah.
Right. You get my point.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have Tony Romo,
which is a fantastic problem.
It's a fantastic problem.
Yeah. Because if.
I mean, God forbid. Because
things happen. Yeah.
I mean, God forbid there's an injury. Mm-hmm. You have Tony Romo
ready to go.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, do you think there's any scenario to where at halftime,
no.
Cowboys down by 21.
Put in Romo a wide receiver.
Nope.
Not happening.
Unless, look, if he throws four picks in the first half and looks shook, maybe. But it would have to be
something extreme.
Ridiculous.
Now, if the Cowboys lose and the Seahawks win, are we all going to Seattle?
Okay, if the Cowboys lose, so...
Right, we'd host Green Bay.
Seahawks win, it would be... You guys are the
three. They're the...
The game would be in Seattle.
Oh, my God.
I will sadly...
And who would you take then?
I will be, not sadly, I will be in Mobile for the Senior Bowl.
Oh.
There you go.
However...
Who would you take then?
So at that
point... And our iced coffee is on the line.
It would be Seattle against...
Green Bay. At home.
The rematch from 2 years ago.
And they're playing every montage of that rivalry... You're getting, I mean, not Hargrove, the Indians coach, Holmgren. He comes out.
Mike Hargrove, former Indians and Mariners manager.
Dude, putting it together. That's
well
right.
Done.
Yeah, dude. Maybe they raise a 12-man flag together.
Right.
And then eat sub sandwiches off each other's bellies.
That would be fantastic.
So who would you take in that one? If the Seahawks win in Atlanta, they're rolling. And then they go home? Like, that's... Right. So, but, you know, then you're also like the Packers won in Dallas. They're rolling.
I can't bet against Seattle at home.
I love that.
There it is.
There you go.
I have one last question for you. If someone comes to you and says, one of the Fox or one of the CBS people and says, hey, Andrew Siciliano, we want you to be a play-by-play guy for the NFL.
Yeah.
Do you leave NFL red zone or are you legally obligated not to be able to answer
we all have contracts. I mean, would I love to do games? I would love to do games.
Yeah, because I know you did some Rams preseason.
I've done the Rams for 6 years now.
And nice.
I do their preseason TV.
Yes.
Those four games in the preseason.
Do you love it?
Only. I absolutely love it. And I would love to do more games.
I feel like that's the next move for you for sure.
It's at the same time. I
love where you're at.
I love where I'm at. And I love it. And I love it. And I love it. And I truly do mean that, like, when I get up on Sunday morning, I am legitimately excited to go to work. Not that I wouldn't be doing something else on
for
Sunday.
For sure.
I love being part of it on Sunday. I love where I am. I would also love to do games. And you try to find. It's a good problem to have.
Well, a good place to start is I've got some old VHS tapes of my Little League games when I was quick fat.
That's awesome.
On the T-ball court.
Yeah.
When I got a triple, my coach held a a team meeting with the parents and the people who brought the snacks
said,
Adam was the fastest guy on the team and got a triple. Let's make a round of applause for him.
That's great.
And I didn't because my hands were full of Pop-Tarts, but I, you know, it was exciting. So you can maybe start doing commentary on those.
Reminds me of my moment where I had heat stroke playing third base in Little League.
As a child?
In Little League, yeah.
How do you get heat stroke?
Virginia, I got pulled out of the game.
Oh,
yeah, that might have been my crowning moment.
What's next for the NFL? Do you think we see any dramatic rule changes? Do you think we see anything like anything like the extra point situation or what's next?
I would say that the three things to watch. And by the way, by the time this posts, I mean, we may have San Diego decided. The three things to watch, especially considering there's a big league meeting on Wednesday. Whether the Chargers come here, whether the Raiders go to Vegas, and I think the next thing to watch is what do we do with London?
Yeah.
And once again, there are going to be three games there next year.
Wow.
I don't think that we're ever going to have a full-time franchise there, at least not soon.
They don't care, do they?
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do.
They care.
Oh,
I think we could see a scenario, and this is me just thinking out loud, in which every team has to play one game there a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are 16 games a year in London, and it's a different game every week. I think that's way down the line, but I do think that is of all the London solutions, that one makes a lot of sense.
Do they have to add on extra travel days for sure for all that? They'd figure it out.
I mean, Seattle to New York is no different than New York to London, really.
Great. Well, it is. Call.
And it's like 40, it's an hour difference.
I mean, but yeah, you if you bring back the Concorde jet.
That thing was awesome. I'm an aviation geek. I always wanted to go on that.
Oh, really?
Oh, there you go.
So if you get rich enough, you'd buy yourself a plane.
A Concorde?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll buy you lit up, by the way. It was the complete opposite reaction of the hot air balloon that I suggested.
I'm the guy that still like gets geeked up to go on a Dreamliner.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
Follow Andrew Siciliano on Twitter for all the latest NFL news, and then see him on NFL Network. And get the damn Red Zone channel.
Get the Red Zone channel. It's one of the most
change your life.
It really will.
I will say this, and this is without hesitation and without exaggeration. I don't care what happens in my life, what's going on with my finances. I will always make sure I have enough money for A, health insurance, mm-hmm. and B, the NFL Red Zone channel.
And be a stool to reach that health insurance paper off of the shelf.
Yes. And if you were to run out of either money and or health insurance.
Yeah.
Just come to the studio.
Oh, I will be there next year.
Is that ever?
I'm in next year. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh my god!
My friends come in all the time.
Oh my god!
Well, well, now you have to get the Red Zone channel next year because there will be a streaking dwarf.
Good night, everybody.
Hey now.
Show. That's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.